Canto 3, Chapter 7. Further Inquiries by Vidura. Sri Shuka said, thus speaking with Maitreya Muni, the learned son of Dvaipayana Vyasa, Vidura, respectfully expressed a request. Vidura said, O Brahman, the Supreme Lord is the unchangeable one of the complete whole. How can, despite him being outside of the modes of nature, his pastimes take place of acting with the basic qualities of material nature? Boys who want to play with other boys are enthused in the matter of playing, but in what respect is that different with someone who is self-satisfied and at all times detached? This universe, with its three basic qualities, the gunas, was by the Supreme Lord brought about by means of his internal potency. And by that potency he also maintains the complete of it and annihilates it again. How can he, the pure self whose consciousness is never obscured by time or circumstance, by his own actions, by others, or by what has manifested as nature, be situated in the normal position of a living entity and be caught in the material energy? How can the one Supreme Lord who is present in every field of action of all living beings run into any karmically settled misfortune or obstruction? O learned one, because of the ignorance I suffer from, my mind gives me trouble. Therefore, O mighty soul, please drive away the great impurity of my mind. Sri Shuka said, the sage, this way urged on by Vidura's anxiety to find out about the reality, acted surprised and then, without hesitation, gave a God-conscious reply. Maitreya said, it is contradictory to say that the fortunate one is subject to material illusion on the one hand, and that he is free from imperfections and bondage on the other hand. A person loses his way because of such a contradiction about the soul. It is like seeing from the outside oneself with having one's head cut off. The way by the quality of water, the moon reflected in it, is trembling. The quality of the physical self offers an illusory image to the inner witness differing from it. When you, by the mercy of Vasudeva, engage in detachment and in relation to the fortunate one, unite your consciousness in devotion, in this earthly existence, that illusion will gradually diminish. With the senses thus satisfied in the transcendental true self of the seer, all misery completely dissolves in the Lord, like one enjoyed sound sleep. When one can put an end to all kinds of misery by simply hearing about, meditating upon, the qualities and such of Murari, Krishna as the enemy of Mura, what then may one expect from the, according to one's nature, serving in the dust of his lotus feet? Vidura said, O powerful sage, now that you have cut down my doubts with the weapon of your words, O greatest of all, my mind, concerning the two of the independent Lord and the living being, has arrived at a perfect union. Dear learned soul, you are perfectly right in stating that reasoning from the bewildering energy of the Lord is not the path for the soul to follow. It proves itself as meaningless when one engages without the basis of the supreme source, apart from which one misses the point. In this world, both the ignorant fool and the one whose intelligence has attained the transcendental position enjoy happiness, whereas persons situated in between these two positions have to suffer. Being certain of the fact that one, abiding by outer appearances, misses the essence, misses the soul, I, with being of service at your feet, can give up the mistaken notion that the Supreme One would be subject to illusion. In serving the immutable personality of Godhead, who is the enemy of the demon Madhu, one develops by one's pleasure with the lotus feet step by step, in different relationships, the intensity of one's rapture that vanquishes distress. Those who are of little austerity are rarely found on the path of service towards Vaikuntha, the ultimate spiritual goal, where the Lord is continually glorified by the gods as the controller of all living beings. After the creation in the beginning of the cosmic intelligence and the other elements, in a gradual process of differentiation, evolution, the universal form, along with the functions of the senses manifested therefrom, in which later on the Almighty One entered for his incarnations. He who is called the original person has thousands of limbs, legs, and hands, and accommodates all the worlds of the universe with all the life that has its existence on them. You explained how there are three kinds of life, according to the basic qualities, in which one has 10 kinds of life force with the 5 senses and their 5-fold interest. Please describe now to me what the specific powers of the societal divisions are. In these divisions, with the sons, grandsons, and family members of the different generations, that prowess has spread itself in the different forms of existence. Who are the original progenitors, the Prajapatis, evolved by their original leader, Brahma? What are the generations of these fathers of mankind, and which generations followed them? Which manas ruled over the different manvantaras? Which worlds are there above and below the earthly worlds, O son of Mitra? Please describe what their positions and sizes are, as also the measures and proportions of the earthly worlds. Tell me what the generations and subdivisions are of the infrahuman, human and superhuman living beings, the way they are born from eggs, wombs, from moisture, and from earth. Kindly describe the incarnations according to the modes of nature for the sake of the creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe, as also the magnanimous activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, living with the Goddess of Fortune, of him, Srinivasa, who constitutes the ultimate shelter. What are the divisions of societal status and spiritual order, and what are their features? How do they behave, and what is their character? What are the birth and activities of the sages, and what are the divisions of the Veda? What, O Master, are all the ceremonies of sacrificing, and what are the different ways of the yoga perfections, of the analytical study of knowledge, and of relating to the personality of God with regulative principles? What are the ways followed by the faithless, and what are their shortcomings? What is the situation of those who stem from mixed marriages, and what is the destiny of life of the many types of individual souls according to the modes they follow, and the kinds of labor they perform? How can the different interests of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and salvation, the different means of livelihood, the codes of law, the scriptural injunctions, and the different regulative principles be balanced? O Brahmin, how are the periodical offerings of Shraddha regulated to honor the deceased, and to respect what the forefathers have created, and how are the times settled in respect of the positions of the luminaries like the planets and the stars? What may one expect from charity, penance, and the endeavoring for reservoirs of water? And how are the duties described for someone away from home and for a man in danger? Please describe to me, O sinless one, how he, the Supreme Person, the Father of religion and controller of all, can be satisfied completely, and who of us could do that? O best among the Brahmins, the spiritual masters who are so kind to the needy, tell their devoted disciples and sons even what they did not ask for. O Supreme Master, how many dissolutions or end times are there for the elements of nature? Who are they who are saved, then, and who are they who, being of praise, may serve him, and who may merge with him when he goes asleep? And what is the nature and identity of the individual person and of the Supreme? What is the leading motive of the Vedic wisdom? And what moves the Guru and his disciples? Spotless devotees speak of this source of knowledge in the world. How would someone of his own accord have knowledge of devotional service and detachment? All these questions I have asked in my desire to know about the pastimes of the Lord. Please answer them as a friend to me and everyone else who, in his ignorance, with the external energy, has lost his vision. O spotless sage, the assurance of an existence free from fear one obtains from someone like you cannot in any way be compared with the liberation offered by all the Vedas' sacrifices, penances and charity. Sri Shuka said, "He, Maitreya, the chief among the sages, so well versed in the stories, Puranas, was most delighted to hear these questions posed by the chief of the Kurus, and thus being urged to the topics about the Supreme Lord, he with a smile gave Vidura his reply.